So be holding Jesus. I am going to be your outline giver, and this is going to be the outline taker, beholding Jesus from the book of John and various other scriptures. You know, I can't resist throwing in a few that aren't on the program, but that are truly on the program. Beholding Jesus. Let's first take a look at what it means to behold, the definition of the word behold, because it's a little bit of an old-fashioned word. I looked it up on dictionary.com, and it means to observe, to see, to gaze upon, to view, to watch, or to discern. So observe, see, gaze upon, view, watch, or discern. I hope you're excited like I am about the opportunity to do that this year, to gaze upon, to behold our Lord Jesus. I want to do that in the moments of my everyday and in all the days of my life. And I think that is an opportunity that we all have in Christ. So let's talk about that this morning. Looking at John 1:1, we're on the introduction now. I'm trying to be free in the paper world. So most of what we do is going to be web-based, or you know, we've got blank paper back there if you want to write it on that if you didn't bring your journal. But John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word," talking about Jesus. So Jesus was in the beginning, and the Word was God. The way I want to apply that verse today is this: the written Word is my passion, but it's Jesus that's the love of my life. And I hope that all of you can say that as well. And if you can't say that, I hope that by the time you've done some beholding of Him, that you can say that. Because being a believer, I think, means relationship. It's a relationship. And many of you are familiar with my testimony. I was like the people of which it was written in 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness but denying its power. I had a lot of information about God, but I didn't behold Him very often, and I didn't know Him very well. And so that began my journey of discipleship several years ago. What I wanted was, I think, what all of us as Christians want. We want to behold Jesus. We want to know Him. We want to be close to Him. We want Him to be a part of our day-to-day and our every minute of our day. That's what I wanted. And so we're going to be breaking that down this semester about how we can experience that. One of the quotes as I was studying for today that I came across is by one of my all-time favorite writers, Andrew Murray. And this is what he said. He said, "It is only when I learn the will of God, not in the words of man or a book, but from God Himself, and when we hear the voice of God, that we experience power in the Christian life." He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And all of us have the Holy Spirit, don't we? So over the years, I've learned to behold Jesus as I've learned to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the one that's going to reveal Him to us. And that happens, as you would expect, when I'm sitting at Jesus' feet, making that a priority to sit at His feet every day, to worship Him like we talked about at 10. That I hope if you're not doing that, I hope if you that's something that you haven't embraced, that you'll give that a try as a new place to go deeper in beholding Jesus. And then as we go throughout our day, taking the steps during our day, that's an opportunity to behold Jesus. And that's where it really makes a difference, right, is when we're walking it out. So beholding Jesus like that means that we get to experience three exciting things. And the first one is love. We sang about that this morning, love. You know, the Apostle John is a wonderful teacher on this topic. He is the guy who referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Doesn't that just do it for you? Yeah, that's just so great that he knew that. He was just like a little child, had that childlike faith of just knowing the assurance that his Jesus loved John. And John knew that by experience. He beheld Jesus day by day. He watched Him in action. He saw who Jesus was. He knew His character. And he knew that Jesus loved him by doing that. And I guess the question for all of us is, can we say the same thing? Do we know that? Do we know that way down deep? Can you say with conviction, Jesus loves me? Now, we all know God so loved the world. But do you know, deep down, how much Jesus loves you? And if you may not be able to say that with a whole heart, and that's okay. I don't want you to be discouraged by that. The reason I ask the question is that that's the very reason that in John 1, it says that he took on flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. That's why Jesus did that, is so you could know how much he loves you. And, you know, John is also the one who wrote the verse that names God as the God whose name is love, 1 John 4:8. Says God is love. That's his character, y'all. That's who he is. So if we behold him, if we get a glimpse of him, we're going to see love on his face, because that's who he is. He's the God of love. The most fundamental truth, really, about who God is. So that is an exciting part of a reason why I want to pursue beholding Jesus. I want to do the things necessary to put myself in the position to behold him, is so I can experience his amazing, perfect love that casts out fear. The second thing that comes when we behold Jesus is light. I'm going to give you two verses for that. John 1:4, I believe it is. Yes, John 1:4 and John 8, verse 12. And we'll talk about those for a minute. You know, if you think about beholding, seeing, viewing, watching, that's directly related to the amount of light you have in any given situation, right? You know, if it's dark, you're not going to see a whole lot. So John 1:4 tells us that in him was life, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus is full of life and light. And then this is maybe my favorite verse of the series. I'm going to have to get more favorite than this. This is my favorite verse right here, right now. John 8:12, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life, excuse me. I love that promise. He's saying, "I will bring you out of any place of darkness in your life and give you life and light there." You know, sometimes what happens is he exposes dark places in us in order for us to have that light. And that may be, for example, a lie that we've believed to be the truth. Or it might be a truth that somehow has gotten warped or twisted. An error has come in and infiltrated our thinking. And the way we think is the way things are for us. We view life wrongly because of that. And so Jesus wants to come and bring the light of life to those dark places. And when he does that, y'all, it is really literally like my visual aid. It's like when we get the light of Jesus, it's like flipping a switch. I had this experience. This is the reason I got to write a big check this week. I guess it's so I could tell this story. You know, in my master bath where I get ready and my husband gets ready, we have several plugs, outlets, you know, overhead lights, makeup mirror and all this stuff. And there was something going on and we just kept flipping all those little special switches you have in the bathroom. We went down to the basement and we flipped those switches and we just never could, you know, lay people do anything to fix that, you know, lights being out basically in our bathroom. And that was highly inconvenient, I might say. We have other places we could go to, but you know, that's kind of our spot. So I had to call an electrician and they diagnosed it. They have some cool little gizmo that they stick up there to diagnose what's going on. And they told me, "Ma'am, you know, there's a disconnection behind your wall and we'll get your lights back on for you. You know, I'm not going to explain all that. We'll get them back on for you. You just rest assured, you know, with my big tool belt." And that's kind of what Jesus does for us. He comes in with his perfect knowledge and his perfect love. And he turns the lights on in the places where it's been dark, in the places where there's been disconnection, in the places where there have been lies, in the places where there's been a veil of unbelief. you know, our minds can harbor mindsets that block us from hearing and seeing and beholding Jesus. And so what we want to do is we want to walk with Jesus. And he tells us in that, my favorite verse, John 8:12, that we never have to walk in darkness. Never, ever, ever. How great is that? So he'll bring light to the dark places as we behold him and follow him. And I don't need to fear that. You don't need to fear that. You welcome that. Let's welcome that. Let's pursue that, because it brings life and it brings truth and it brings freedom. And that's the third thing I want to talk about, and that's liberty. Does anybody liken the fact that these all begin with the letter L? You know that's doing it for me, right? But it helps me remember, and I hope it'll help you remember. So, okay, liberty. Let's talk about that for just a minute. When we allow God's Spirit to turn on the light of truth in our lives, here's what happens. You know this verse, guys. I'll give you the reference. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and then what happens? And the truth shall set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Let me give you another reference. 1 John 1:7. Also written by our friend, the disciple John. And I'm quoting from the New Living. It says this: if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. Let me read that again, because I think that's really important. If we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. So basically, there's several things that means to me, but when we're walking in the light with Jesus, he's going to expose those dark places in us. And guess what? He forgives us and cleanses us from all of that. So we don't have to deal with guilt. We can go boldly to the throne free of that, free of the burden of our sin. And we have that assurance of just being able to just come right up to God. And that is when we get to behold him. And it's in God's presence that we get greater and greater degrees of clarity. And this is where I'm veering from John's writings, but you know, Paul was my hero for so long, I wanted to give him a verse today too. So 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Let's look at that on this topic of liberty. And you know this one too, y'all. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom or liberty, it says in mine, New King James. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In verse 18, listen to this, it says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. That's the image of Jesus. From glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Y'all, this is good news. Did you get that? I mean, what he's saying is, in God's presence, he gives us that liberty. That veil is removed. And whether it's sin, whether it's unbelief, whether it's fear, whatever kind of darkness there is, whatever kind of bondage that we're in, whatever place where we're stuck, that the Holy Spirit, that's his role, is to bring liberty to that place. As we behold him, as we enter into his presence, we're freed up to walk in that love, to walk in that light, to walk in our new freedom. And you know, if you read that verse carefully, here's what it says. It says that path only goes in one direction. It goes from glory to glory to glory to glory. That's what it means to walk in the light, is to go from glory to glory. Today, you have the opportunity to behold Jesus. And it says when you behold him, you are transformed into the same image, the image you're looking at. As you behold Jesus, you're transformed to be like him. I mean, who doesn't want to behold Jesus? Who doesn't want to be like Jesus, y'all? That is an amazing opportunity that we have, and I'm excited about it. And so I'm really trusting that God's going to keep that promise for us, that we can reach out to him and that we can take hold of that promise any place where we've been stuck, any place where it's been dark. And I want to give you a quick example from my own life. I'm going to have to go back to some repeated themes in my life to kind of give you the backdrop of what he's been doing recently. But going back about at some time in the 90s, y'all, I've been at this a while, but sometime back in the 90s, the Lord put the word in front of my face everywhere I turned, the word rest. And that has been, I have to say, a step-by-step, little-by-little revelation of beholding Jesus and the journey to understand what it means to rest in God. I'm still on that path. I have learned some things about it. I have a lot more to learn. But the Lord has been faithful and patient with me. So all of you slow learners, take heart that God is going to get us there. So rest, not knowing. I don't know how y'all are with not knowing, but I've never been real good with that. And that really goes back, I can think back to some, just the environment of my childhood and a particular, you know, event in my childhood that I don't have time to share today. I'm glad to share with you some other time. But anyway, I've got the message loud and clear. It is not a good thing not to know. We need to know. And so that's, you know, doesn't work very well when we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, right? When we're called to behold Jesus and, you know, not have to have the whole picture all played out for us in advance. So that's been a theme that some of you may join me in discovering how to live free in not knowing. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't go back to my journal, but I remember this moment. There was a moment several years ago when I felt a clear and unmistakable an altar moment, a glory moment with the Lord, where I know you guys have had these where you thought, okay, you know, that was God. That was a time when God really spoke loud and clear to me, and I felt like it was a call to write, that he wanted me to write. And wow, I mean, I knew that was God, and I said, yes, Lord. But what he didn't give me was the go ahead to do anything about it. I just felt like it was a vision he wanted me to ponder in my heart and trust him for and to wait on him for. So that's kind of been in the background. And then listening and waiting on God is something that's been huge in my journey these last 2 years. I know all of y'all that have heard me open my mouth, you've heard me talking about listening, prayer, waiting on God. And I will say the great news is that last one, listening to God and waiting on God, that's been going really great. God has been really faithful on a day-to-day basis to just teach me more and more and more and train me in the area of listening. He's been so faithful there. And he's been faithful in these others. I've just struggled a little bit more. You know, I haven't been as settled on my insides about that. But so how all that relates to what's gone on with me, I started noticing, probably it's been going on honestly about 2 years, maybe more, that I started noticing, instead of getting more rested, I honestly, y'all, I'll just be real blunt, I started feeling heavier and weary, and I wasn't really sure what that was about, but it was like I felt like I wasn't going from glory to glory. So that caught my attention. The great news is I didn't just sit on it and hide it from God. I took it to him, and it made me seek him and sit at his feet all the more. It made me go to him in worship to get that breakthrough. And I feel like I can tell you today that I've had a breakthrough in this area. And then when it came to this thing about the vision to write, honestly, I feel like maybe that vision had waned out of sight. I'd lost my vision pretty much. And so as I began to seek the Lord about these changes, I just sensed a weightiness and a real call to prayer. And so as I began to go into the presence of God, as I began to come boldly to the throne room and just call out to God for his light in this area where I was not feeling free, I was not feeling light, he began to speak. And it came at just the right time. You know how God is an on-time God. So one day when I was feeling my weariest, I had the word sabbatical spoken in my presence. And it was like I went, I mean, literally, it was like I took a breath way down deep and just went, is that an option? I mean, it was like somebody had rung the Liberty Bell. And I'm not kidding. I heard it and it rang loud and it rang clear, and I grabbed a hold of it, and I was ready to ride that little thing that rings the Liberty Bell until I could, you know, get steady on my word. But I was kind of thinking, I think this may happen. I think this is just, I mean, I felt a breakthrough in just hearing that word. And then everywhere I turned, the missionary whose newsletter I get was just coming back reporting the joys of sabbatical. My husband plops down in my study one day and says, I'm ready for a sabbatical. And I mean, it was everywhere. The book of the month club was sabbatical. I mean, it was, and then those are all great. I'm not going to make a life decision, though, based on a bumper sticker or on a, you know, a random comment like that. But I always take note of them because I do believe those were moments where we can sense God's confirmation. We can sense God's direction. That's his light. You know, it was my light, lighting my way. And so I was having my time sitting at the feet of Jesus with the Word of God open, which is how he speaks to me most often. And he took me sort of in a roundabout way to Deuteronomy 15. And guess what? Sabbatical is God's idea. And what he basically writes, the principle of sabbatical, is that every 7 years we are to take a rest. And the purpose of that, this was an Old Testament concept, was for release, for freedom, for liberty, so that we could be, you know, restored, so restoration could come. And wow, I went, okay, God, I mean, I'm kind of thinking you're confirming this. And not long after that, and let me just tell you in the interim what I did. What I didn't do is just make a snap decision. I sought godly counsel. I sat down with Bill Hay. He was so sweet and just counseled me. My accountability team, this is my small group. I had them praying. I just continued to pray, talk with my husband, lots of people. So I sought godly counsel. I continued to seek the counsel of the Lord. And in that process, he gave me this verse, and it's a behold verse. Y'all got to love this, right? Revelation 21:5 says this, he who sits on the throne, and that's Jesus, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words of mine are faithful and true. And y'all, I just went, oh my gosh, God. I knew, I've always loved that verse, I make all things new. But I didn't realize the second half of it. And I just thought, oh God, I think you're really going to make me do this. I'm not sure I'm ready. I know I'm not ready. I don't know what to do. So all my not knowing what to do buttons went, you know, they went into hyper overdrive. Let me just say this. God has so sweetly and consistently and tenderly and creatively and over the top in frequency confirmed this for me, that this is what he's calling me to do, is to write. And not write Bible studies like I've been doing, because I've done a lot of that. I've written these books of Bible studies over the years. But what he's calling me to do is write stories about when I have, or they're beholding Jesus stories. They're stories of when God showed up in my life in a supernatural way that you couldn't explain any other way besides God. And so I thought, Lord, you know, how am I going to do that and then do the other things? And I felt like he was calling me to rest. So you're just going to have to provide. And again, we sought godly counsel. We prayed. And the Lord raised up a very gifted teacher, Martha Bailey. She's going to be teaching much of the material this year. And I am going to be teaching and choosing the praise. I'm going to be teaching the praise. I'm going to still be over the ministry and administrative and that kind of thing, still be doing the small group for non-group people. But the Lord led us to make some really excited changes, a huge transition on the website. Please, please, please check it out, and please share it with your friends. And I have written my first blog post. And I just have to say, y'all, I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to be telling my God stories, my beholding Jesus stories. Oh, they are so cool. I mean, I'm just thinking this is going to be so much fun, right? Y'all, he so clearly pointed me to the first story he wanted me to tell and had me to dig out my journal and then start reliving that event and refilling those feelings. Y'all, it was like birthing an emotional baby. I felt like I truly had travailed in birth. So I could use your prayers on that, but I'm very, very excited about the new thing God's doing. So not only is it new for me, but I feel like at that light of God, that love of God, the liberty of God, I'm experiencing, and I'm testifying to you about that today. I'm so, so excited. And one of the words that I felt when I knew that I was going to be doing the kickoff today, and as I was seeking God, Lord, what would be your message today? I mean, does it need to be beholding Jesus? What do you want it to be about? And I felt like the very first verse he gave me was a behold verse, and it's Isaiah 43, verse 19, and it says this: behold, I will do something new. It will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And guys, what I think that means is not Kathy's getting a break or Kathy's getting to do something new. No, I believe that's for all of us. I believe Covenant Church is in a new season. I've been saying I've been in a new season for probably 4 or 5 years now. But y'all, if you think about it, in Christ, every day is a new day. His mercies are new every single morning. And I want us as a people to wake up expecting something new from God. That he's got something new to say to you. He's got something new to show you. He's got a new freedom he wants you to enjoy. He's got a new blessing he wants you to embrace. And so for each of us, it is truly a new season. And I hope that you will reach out and grab that for yourself. So that kind of sums it up, I guess, as far as God is really, really good. He will reveal himself as we enter in to behold him, as we seek him, as we sit at his feet with his word open, as we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, as we approach his throne of grace boldly through prayer, he will let himself be known. He will draw near to us as we draw near to him. And so I want us to close by doing that. This is something that I went to, one of our missionary wives coached us in, some of the leaders in this year, and it's something that I'm really big on. I've been using it in my time with the Lord, and it has been a treasure, and that's listening prayer. And so what I'd like to do is to, in closing, take a few minutes for us to do some listening prayer. I mean, this is the you and Jesus thing. And then that'll be our prayer. When I say amen, then you can take your yellow page out and write your one thing, and then we'll break. But so let me lead us now in just listening prayer. And just if you'll just quiet in your heart and just close your eyes. And I want you just to take a minute to picture Jesus. He's the one that we read about who's sitting on the throne. It's a throne of grace. And he's the God whose name is love. And if you can, and I know everybody can't see his face, but if you can, I want you to just look into his eyes and see the love that's on his face and in his eyes for you. He's not in a hurry for you to come. And it's okay if you don't feel like you can run, if you just need to stand at a distance and look, just behold him as he is. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to bless our eyes again, and we just ask you to bless our ears and bless our hearts to receive. Thank you, Spirit, that you're the Spirit of truth. And you lead us into all the truth. Lord, we pray that you would say to us, help us hear how you say with every heartbeat, I love you. And just as you're in his presence, just open your ears now to hear his heartbeat. And open your heart to receive his words to you. Hear him call you by name. Hear him tell you how much he loves you. And just be reassured that he's going to continue with every heartbeat to tell you how much he loves you. That's the message of his heart. So if you can't hear that today, he's still going to just say it as long as you live and throughout eternity. That's his plan, is to lavish his love on you. It's there for you always. And now let's focus on his light, that he is the light of life, and he's given us that life and eternal life. And just in your heart, thank him for that eternal life that he's given you. Now thank you, Lord. We want to all thank you in our hearts for giving us light. Lord, thank you for that amazing promise in John 8:12, that we never have to walk in darkness when we follow you. So Lord, you say that we must follow you in order to walk in that light. Father, we come now and ask you for the enabling power of your Holy Spirit to help us say in me, Jesus, I will follow you. Thank you, Lord, that I never have to walk in darkness. And now I want you to ask him to shine his light on any place in your life that he wants to set you free. Can you release it to him? If you can, just see yourself just taking it and giving that thing, whatever it is, if it's a person or a circumstance, just give that to him now if you can. And I just want to say to you, he's patient. He is not in a hurry, and he'll be ready to receive it whenever you're ready. So Lord, for those of us who may not be ready today, I pray that prayer that's been such a gift in the past is that, Lord, I'm not willing today, but I'm willing to be willing. So Lord, I just pray that you would stir up a willingness in us. Thank you that's your job, to will and to work for your good pleasure. And then, Lord, I thank you that you have promised that as we behold you, that we're going to become like you. God, what an amazing promise. Thank you, Lord, that the road of following you leads in that one direction, glory to glory. God, I pray that you would just use your Holy Spirit to press the truth of that deeper inside, that we would really celebrate and rejoice in that expectation and in that hope. And we ask you, Lord, we just say, Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to be transformed. And Lord, I'm ready for the new thing that you want to do in me. So, Father, thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your ministry today. Lord, I pray that you would just seal all these things, that we would know that you've got them. Father, I pray that, thank you that for that verse in Timothy that says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him against that day. So we do that now, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you will write